It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Before we begin today's program, a follow-up to yesterday's conversation on prolonged solitary confinement. Late yesterday, the Justice Department announced the closing of its investigation into the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. The U.S. Attorney for Western Pennsylvania said this is a result of significant improvements made by the Department of Corrections to its policies and practices intended to protect prisoners with serious mental illness and intellectual disabilities from the harmful effects of solitary confinement. Yesterday, board members of the Urban Redevelopment Authority unanimously endorsed the mixed-use proposal to convert the historic Strip District produce terminal into a hub for retail, offices, and apartments, and possibly a new public market. 90.5 WESA's Noah Brode has the story.
The produce terminal stretches for 7 blocks along Smallman Street in the Strip, and aside from a flower vendor, its only other tenant is the Society for Contemporary Craft on the easternmost end. The Society's executive director, Janet McCall, says she's thrilled that Chicago-based developer McCaffrey Interests Plan acknowledges the building's historic role as a food center.
Although they are talking about pedestrian cut-throughs and enhancements to the Smallman side of the street, they seem to be really maintaining the integrity of the building overall. So it still has its same iconic structure, but I think it's going to be much more user-friendly.
Across the street at the busy restaurant Smallman Galley, co-owner Ben Mantica envisions the produce terminal's potential public market as a new Pittsburgh destination.
Like Ferry Building Marketplace in San Francisco and Pike's Place in Seattle, this could be something that even surpasses those. And it's sad that it's been empty for so long, but the prospect of redevelopment is really exciting.
McCaffrey's plan would require some amount of public subsidy, but the city would keep ownership of the property. The plan will still need to be approved by city council and the mayor before reconstruction can start. I'm Noah Brode, 90.5 WESA News.
But there are many questions about costs and the amount of public investment needed, as well as how it will impact the Strip District. I'm joined now by phone by Kevin Acklin. You are a board chairman and Mayor Peduto's chief of staff. Kevin Acklin, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, good afternoon. Honored to be with you. Thanks for having me.
And you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Kevin Acklin, what has gotten the URA so firmly behind this proposal by the Chicago developer McCaffrey Interests?
Well, I think that, first of all, I think when we took office with the mayor, there was a proposal on the table under the URA under the last administration, and that proposal contemplated tearing down one-third of this building. That was something that then-Councilman Peduto fought against, and when he became mayor, made this a top priority of this administration to put together a proposal. We went out to market, and we wanted to maintain the historical integrity of the building. We think it's an iconic building for the city that has served residents of the city for almost 100 years. We wanted a development that was complementary to Penn Avenue. We didn't want it competing with the eccentric nature of the Strip District. It's such an asset to our city. We wanted to have access points to the river. It is a long building, and we wanted to have appropriate access points through, and so the proposal that we voted on yesterday includes pedestrian walkthroughs that will take folks from Smallman Street towards the riverfront and the Buncher development behind it. We were looking for a development that could potentially rehabilitate Smallman Street. We think that paying attention to the history of Smallman, making it a little bit more pedestrian-friendly, and having amenities there, perhaps a public square similar to what you see at in Market Square. And then ultimately, we wanted a development that had programming that paid homage to the food-centric nature of the Strip District. It took into account that, we have a lot of residents moving into the Strip District already, and there would need to be amenities to not only to serve folks who live there, but to make this a destination location. And Mr. McCaffrey's proposal hit all of them. Over the course of the last 18 months, his initial proposal was to largely convert this development into housing. And we moved forward, had some robust conversations with the communities, had some great technical assistance provided by the foundations and Pittsburgh Gateways. who were the folks with the Energy Innovation Center in the Hill District, and really morphed this proposal. Had a very patient developer who ultimately, again, delivered a proposal yesterday that we ultimately accepted unanimously that addressed a lot of the ideas that we had put on the table for making this a transformation development for the city and for the entire region.
But, of course, there are questions that have come up, and James Furlow is one of the people who was mentioning concerns about financing, for example. What are the concerns? How much will this cost, and how will the money be raised?
Well, it's about a $65 million project. The bulk of the capital will be raised privately through a combination of equity and debt. The developer will go out and probably get debt, as to terms of doing the construction and ultimately for building out for future tenants. There is a public investment that we're contemplating in the form of tax increments. So taxes will be generated on site in the future. We're looking to capture some of those tax increments that will be generated and deploy them into the public realm. So the largest portion of the public investment won't go into the development itself. It'll actually go into Smallman Street and 21st Street. You know, building out the public realm outside of the development, outside of the building, to make sure that, you know, we just don't have a pretty building with a raceway outside that's very dangerous, but kind of defining what that Smallman Street will look like. And that'll be done through a robust public process. We're engaging with city planning to reach out to the community, over the course of the next 6 to 9 months. You'll start to see some public input regarding what could Smallman Street be. Ultimately, it has to fit with Mr. McCaffrey's plan for the terminal building, but we think that developing the building without investment by the public in Smallman Street would be a wrong thing to do. So we're making a parallel investment. As part of that, we also have foundations who have been interested in making those investments. One idea under the 16th Street Bridge is perhaps doing an outdoor public market, seasonal, where you can have food trucks and other outdoor vendors on the western cap of the terminal building. Again, those are all public areas surrounding the terminal that you can sort of bring that food-centric activity that's happening inside, bring it outside as well to make the Strip District even more of a destination, that part of it. So those are largely where those investments will be going.
And when you talk about this as a destination, and I think everybody associated with this or who is following this, people that simply like to go to the Strip District, have referred to this as this idea of the Strip with this development being a destination. And it's even been compared, as you might have heard in Noah's report, to a Pike Place in Seattle.
Correct.
I've been there. I'm guessing you probably have, too.
I have.
Really? Could it really reach those heights?
Well, I think parts of it. Those developments take a lot of even more subsidy. And so we did look at and tested, some of the more public market, full public market elements. Had a look at different developments. There's been a strong group of folks here locally. Councilwoman Gross as well has taken a keen interest in the future development of this project. I think a portion of this building can be used for that purpose, again, in a manner that doesn't compete with the vendors on Penn Avenue who have been, privately working for decades, multi-generation businesses that we don't want to threaten. So I think that we can have complementary food-centric uses here along with some restaurants and office space and retail to activate the Smallman Street corridor. What's also being proposed is a limited number of live-work spaces where you can have, professionals have, the front side being their office and they can live upstairs. Is a model that you're starting to see in other buildings like this across the country. So the good news is we have a palette. We've spent a lot of time over the last 2 years defining, what that palette will look like, and we have the flexibility. But we think we're starting to get closer now to a proposed multi-use development that can have something for everybody, be sustainable, and ultimately serve residents of the city and the Strip District for generations to come.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and I'm talking with Kevin Acklin. You are a board chairman and Mayor Peduto's chief of staff about yesterday's vote by the Urban Redevelopment Authority unanimously endorsing the mixed-use proposal to convert the Strip District produce terminal into a hub for as we've been talking about, retail, offices, apartments, possibly a new public market, which has some people excited. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH@WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH. If you are someone who makes the Strip District one of your weekend destinations, we'd like to hear from you about what you'd like to see happen. What are your thoughts about this proposal? Does it excite you? Does it concern you? What are the questions you have? 412-246-2002, the number to call. And let's go to Joseph on the South Side with a question. Hi, Joseph. You're on with Kevin Acklin.
Yes, sir. What I'd like to know is, when this project is completed, how much actual tax money will the city be collecting? A ballpark figure.
Sure, that's a great question, and ultimately we're looking at between $1 and $2 million annually a year will be generated from this unique development.
$1 and $2 million. Mm-hmm. That's a fair amount of money. And it was one of the questions I was going to ask. Joseph, I'm glad that you chimed in with that. 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002 to join our conversation. So, now, Kevin, the hard work begins. So take us through, you know, the next 6 months.
Sure.
What are the things that have to be done?
So at this point now, we will be moving forward on the public realm process, which is with respect to Smallman. There will be some community planning events that will be underway, and those will be published. And we invite residents from the Strip District as well as around the city to participate in sort of understanding. You know, if you look at Smallman Street, it's a very unique area of St. Stanislaus, which sort of frames it at one end, and then all the way down on the other end, even if you go under the 16th Street Bridge, it takes you down to the History Center. And the mayor's vision is to have a plan for that entire plaza, still having cars being able to access through, but looking at pedestrian and bike infrastructure. Again, as I said earlier, perhaps a public plaza where community festivals can be held and on weekends and the like, and have an open-air marketplace, again, that's complementary to what's happening on Penn Avenue. There'll be a planning process, so this development will go through city planning, ultimately for a development plan. There will be a rezoning of this building that will ultimately come before city council. It's presently part of the SP district. I'm being technical, but that's a term for zoning that is part of the development that's happening behind it, that's controlled right now by the Buncher Company. And so there'll be multiple parts for the public to weigh in on this future development, and we encourage that. You know, community-driven development is a difficult thing to do, but it's what the mayor feels very strongly. And again, when we took office, we had a proposal for a third of this building to be demolished, and we heard the community loud and clear that's not what they wanted. And ultimately, we've come forward with a development that's sustainable economically, environmentally, that hits the historical nature of this building and the Strip District, that fits in with the overall economic activity of the Strip District, and something that we think could be a great legacy for the future of the city.
Plenty of folks that want to chime in on this at 412-246-2002. Let's go to Ozzie in Squirrel Hill. Hi, Ozzie. You're on with Kevin Acklin.
I was just wondering if any public murals or art was going to be incorporated into what was happening with Smallman Street development.
That's a great question, and the answer is yes. So if you know the development, right now we park cars right up against a loading dock, and one of the proposals is for that loading dock to be expanded to become sort of an elevated pedestrian walkway to access a lot of the storefronts that will be there. And we've envisioned having that, instead of being sort of a blank wall, to be having public art installations along that frontage, which will really define that part of Smallman Street. So it's a great question, and the mayor is a very strong supporter of public art, so that'll be part of that planning process to redefine Smallman Street, to have installations along the whole length of the terminal building.
Thank you, Ozzie. Let's go to Peter in Point Breeze. Hi, Peter. You're on the air.
I was just wanting to know if there was any concern about a bubble being created if the government's temporarily getting involved in development down there. And then the second question is, are they going to be incorporating bike lanes in the development like they do in the Bakery Square area? Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Peter, a neighbor of mine in Point Pres, I assume. So the second question first. We do believe that Smallman Street can be another corridor to access east-west for bike infrastructure coming through the city. We've already pre-programmed 21st Street to have access to the river and connect to the Penn Avenue bike lane, so that will definitely be part of the proposed development. To your first question, though, about subsidy, this is something that we watch very closely. You know, we take it very seriously that, you know, public dollars invested in projects should be about having benefit to the public, not just to promote and to subsidize developer profits. So when we make decisions on subsidy, again, to the earlier point, the vast majority of the public subsidy that's going into this development, first of all, will be generated from future taxes that don't exist now. There'll be taxes that will come out of the future when this development comes online, and then they'll be invested in public areas of the development that everyone can enjoy. Access to the river, again, the redefinition of Smallman Street and the like. So that is something we take very seriously. You know, this mayor, Peduto, is not very keen on just putting public money into projects to, you know, promote private development, but really to make sure that we're getting our money's worth to advance the public realm.
Some people are, and by the way, thanks for that question, Peter. Some are worried about this sending rents soaring in the Strip District. How are you addressing those concerns?
Well, I think, you know, there is a housing market already underway. You know, if this were a housing development that charged high numbers of rent, I think that would be a more valid concern. But what you have here now is more of a kind of a local flavored, Mr. McCaffrey calls it a sort of a gritty development that pays homage to the history of this building. And so I don't really foresee this development per se having an impact on housing rents in the city. You know, it will make the hill Strip District a more attractive place to live. It'll have amenities not only for the public, but also for the residents of the Strip District. So I don't necessarily see a direct correlation. I mean, it is economic growth, and that's a good thing. You know, this building has been owned by the public since 1978. It's in very bad condition. It's a great asset, but it was built as a transloading facility to offload produce coming in on short rail lines for 70 or 80 years. So it needs a lot of work to bring it back to what it can be. So we think that you know, it can further enhance this neighborhood and the entire city.
Let's go to Kathy in White Oak at 412-246-2002. Hi, Kathy. You're on with Kevin Ackland.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a parishioner at St. Stanislav since 1992. My grandparents were married in that church in 1911. So it's a pretty prestigious place, in my opinion. But I was at the Pitzer Public Market, and I tried to open a picture framing business. They wouldn't allow me to do it. Now I do mosaic art. And then you moved it. And then I work with Jimmy, the floral vendor there, and
yeah,
he couldn't afford it, and he moved. And then you move people up the street, and they have their woodworkers, breweries, all these companies. Now you want to move them here, you're going to move them there. You know, I wouldn't trust this organization that you're sponsoring to open up another place, and then you're going to get an offer from a high-rise or some hotel that wants to put a place in there, and then you're going to pull the rug out from under them, and then they're going to be stuck with nowhere to go to. I mean, Mayor Peduto, I sent him a letter because AYH used to be by the Pittsburgh Center for the Arts. They had a low-rise building there. They used to have meetings every Thursday night. People would come and book trips or go on trips, backpacking trips, and CMU students, the Pitt students, would come there, get their passes, and they could, you know, have friendly meetings with people in the area, people from all over the world. And I wrote Mr. Peduto a letter, and he didn't even answer the letter. You know, I mean, what, you know, I had to move from the city a long time ago. My mother and dad both got sick. You know, I had to move from the city. And now I have a degree in human resources management. I'm a career coach. That's what I do for a living.
Kathy,
now,
let me jump in. Kathy, stay with us. You're raising some legitimate concerns here. So let's get to those. And what about Kevin Ackland? Kathy's saying that she shares the concern that others have that this development will compromise the integrity of the Strip District and force out these longtime small vendors that will have no other place to go.
Well, that's exactly why we took so long to try to get this right. I think that earlier on, the proposed development that we, in effect, were against, that would have demolished this building, built a brand-new building, and had other higher-end vendors be part of this development was something we were against for those exact reasons. And so, you know, there will be an advisory committee that's working with the developer to make sure that the programming, the businesses that come in here, we want to see small, we want to see local, we want to see, you know, obviously sustainable businesses that can pay their rent, but that they can move forward. The one thing that I left out of the earlier discussion, and I know that you had in your lead-in, we are committed to maintaining the Society for Contemporary Craft. They had been in this building, I believe, for almost 30 years. There was a condition that in the original vote that we had that they would remain part of this. I know that we have some work to do with respect to what their lease is, but they have the support of the mayor to continue to be part of this development. Again, as I said earlier, this is a development that can really serve a lot of different purposes. And why it took so long for us to get to this point is because a lot of the issues that Kathy was raising were issues that we were making sure were being preserved as part of this development. In terms of the public market and some of the other issues, Kathy, I would love to have a follow-up discussion if you'd give me a call here at the mayor's office, 255-2636. I'd be happy to address some of the concerns that you articulated in your letter. We've been in touch with the pastor at St. Stanislaus, and we believe that asset is something that can be important to the future development here that we're all contemplating.
Kathy, does that work for you?
Yeah, that works for me. I'm just, you know, I wish I could live in the city. I ran into Mr. Petula down the street. He said to move back, and I said, you know, I wish I could, but, sometimes I have a house in White Oak now, you know, my parents' house. And so,
sure.
But anyway, thanks for your due diligence, and I will contact you, Mr. Acklin. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathy. Let's go to Susan in Pittsburgh. Hi, Susan.
Yes. I'm concerned that we're going to end up with the same almost year-long mess that has been allowed to happen on Forbes Avenue, the entrance to Oakland, with private development taking two lanes of traffic, blocking access to parking in a very congested area, and seeing the same thing. I don't see where the mayor's office did anything to help in Oakland, and why should we believe this would happen in district?
Yeah. Well, I think you in Oakland, I'm familiar with the project on Forbes Avenue, which is underway. Development, and we're at a time in the city's history where, you know, the city's growing. You're seeing a lot of development happening. There obviously are some impacts on convenience with the roadways, and we'd like to maintain and provide for safe access around development construction activities, but we're, you know, our roadways are tight, and ultimately those barriers will be removed once the developments are coming online. So, you know, our role is to make sure that when construction happens in the neighborhoods, you're seeing it at East Liberty in Oakland where I grew up, other areas like this in the Strip District, is to minimize the impact on commuters and on folks in the neighborhood, and to make sure that, you know, that we have full visibility on construction delays and reroutes throughout the city. We're dealing with an issue right now on Baum Boulevard. We're rebuilding a bridge there, PennDOT is. But we have aging infrastructure here in the city that we need to address. And for years, the city wasn't in the position to invest in that infrastructure. And now we're sort of starting to make that part of what we do every day to make sure that we're making those investments. So we understand it's inconvenient. It is a good thing that growth is happening and development is coming back to the city. Ultimately, our role is to minimize the impact on the community, and that's something we're committed to doing.
Let's take one last call from Sammy in Moon Township. Hi, Sammy. You're on with Kevin Acklin.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
Hi, Sammy. Good afternoon.
It's curious. I'm a little familiar with the project, and obviously Buncher's first foray into taking the one-third of the building out, but using no public money. Why has this project...
Well, that's a misnomer. There was public money in that project. I mean, there was an RCAP that's been expended, and so I think that's been a misnomer that there wasn't any public money. The overall development that this was part of, and they are developing behind the terminal building, has $20 million of public money that was allocated in the past. So that's a kind of a misnomer. That being said, the Buncher, they've been a great partner. Ultimately, the issue we had was that they wanted to demolish, you know, a good portion of this historical building.
Yeah, and that was the original plan. But obviously, that you guys thought that that wasn't workable. So then you brought in outside developers who have changed their plans endlessly, it seems like. And I don't understand why Buncher either wasn't given another shot as being a Pittsburgh company with Pittsburgh people. It seemed a little political to me. I don't know. I'm not that
political,
it wasn't, but that
seemed political. I'd be happy to sort of address that. First of all, I think, you know, the issue that it was not anything with the Buncher Company. They're a great partner. I meet with them every other Friday to go over issues. They own a lot of great developments across the city. This not a political issue one bit. It had to do with what they wanted to do, and that was to tear down most or a third of this building. That something that we felt could be sustained, and so you know, the process, of course, was the public money that's going into this development. Most of it is going to rebuild Smallman Street, and that was not part of the prior proposal, at least to the extent that we'd like to see it happen, of the Buncher proposal. So, you know, a lot of that's water under the bridge. We sat down and amicably came out with the Buncher Company, you know, for a couple months early in the administration, sat around the table, talked about our concerns. Ultimately, they agreed and they backed away. And they have a great development underway behind there that we think is complementary to what we're doing on the terminal building. So in the time and the changes, we're really responsive to what the public wants to see. Again, as I said earlier, there are two ways to do development, to come in, to demolish a building and steamroll a community, and then there's engaging with the community to try to do the right thing, to take the temperature of the public and to say, what kind of planning, what do you want to see happen here? That's clearly what the path we've chosen in this terminal building, what we're trying to accomplish citywide.
Very quickly, Kevin, parking is a huge concern in the Strip District. Is there a parking? Is there a parking facility that is part of this plan?
There is. So it's currently contemplated that behind the building on the riverside. I've got to stop using that because there is no front or back to this building anymore. That's part of the planning principle for moving forward. But on the riverside, there is a proposed parking facility that will be available. We are also looking at additional parking structures in the Strip District to accommodate not only the growth in housing, but also for folks to come in from the city and the suburbs to enjoy the Strip District. So those investments are all being contemplated right now.
You are a board chairman, Kevin Acklin, who is Mayor Peduto's chief of staff, joining us to talk about the developments in the Strip District. And, Kevin, we appreciate your generosity with your time. Good luck with everything.
Thank you, sir. Honored to be here. Have a great day.
Coming up, a conversation with Alice Bell about the evolution of Prevention Point Pittsburgh, an organization that provides needle exchange services to help stop the spread of injection-related diseases. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.